Hey everyone, before we get into the episode, I do say at the beginning, it's episode 362. It is 363. Do not worry. Do not be alarmed. Tony Gentilcore is coming up in just a couple seconds. Hello, welcome back to the FitCast. This is episode number 362. I am Kevin Larrabee, and back on the show, I am my good friend and movie buff, I guess we could probably say at this point, famous blogger, formerly of the Boston Herald Step Up blog.
Oh man, you're bringing it way back.
Oh, I'm going wow. I'm going so far back.
You're bringing up a Boston Herald reference.
Tony's Techno Tuesdays. And that is, of course, Tony Gentilcore. Tony, what's up, man?
What's up, man? Good to be back on. I know it's been a couple months, I think.
Yeah, but, it's been like 8 months.
Always fun to come on. When you shot me the text, like you and I usually text back and forth, like, hey, you know, you bust my chats about Furious 7 or Fast 7 or whatever. We talk about that in the show notes later on, but we text back and forth. And when you asked me to come back on today, I was like, hell yeah, let's do it.
That's right. Like Tony mentioned, we have a pretty meaty 20-25 minute gender-free segment at the end for the Patreon supporters where we get into all things book, movies, and TV shows. If you are a Patreon supporter at patreon.com/thefitcast, you get access to that extra bonus content as a thank you for supporting the show and helping keep it free for everyone out there. So.
And it's riveting, let me tell you. You and I discussing the intricacies of the Fast and Furious.
It's pretty deep.
Like it's riveting. It's riveting. Two dudes talking about cars and explosions.
I feel like I could have submitted that as my senior thesis if I did it on the Fast and Furious franchise and why everyone should see Pacific Rim multiple times. So we have a lot of stuff to talk about, but I think the biggest thing that we should start the show with a showstopper. You've left Cressy Sports Performance and you've kind of gone out on your own to do your own thing. So, if people didn't hear about this, what was that process like?
Well, I'm sure some people are throwing their phones across the room right now. They've heard that news if they didn't hear about it before. They're just so shocked by the news.
Right.
Honestly, it was something that I myself have been contemplating for probably the last year or two. Mm-hmm. Nothing that was concrete. It was just kind of like – it's kind of like a stepping stone. You know, like I've been there from the get-go when it was just Eric, Pete, and myself. And we started Cressy Performance and we went through all these changes and mm-hmm. expansions and renaming it the Cressy Sports Performance. And, so it's been 8 years of my life. And 8 awesome years, like I've owed so much to the brand and to being there and to being around all the coaches and to see all the people who have come through and become great coaches themselves. And, when Lisa and I got married this past year and, you know, when her and I are kind of planning our lives out together and stuff we want to do and, coming down to, being more efficient with my time. It was just a natural progression as far as like stepping away. Mm-hmm. So, Pete and Eric and I sat down and we just came to the conclusion that, hey, my initial plan was to like try to do some things on the side, and kind of do both.
Well, you tried to start mixing up a little bit, cutting some days out at CSP and doing some of your own stuff.
Yeah. I've been able to, what's been great about working there is I've been able to build my own brand outside of the Cressy Sports Performance brand.
Right.
I've been able to use that as something in my pocket that I've been able to use to help, promote myself mm-hmm. and all the other coaches as well, like Greg and Chris and Miguel and Tony, like they've, we've told every coach that they can use the brand to help promote their own brands. And that's one of the big advantages of being there is that absolutely has helped, in the years, I started off working there, as one of the co-founders, of course, but Monday through Saturday. So I was there 6 days a week, just mm-hmm. like Pete and Eric. Then as we got a little bigger and we were able to take on interns and extra employees, then it went down to, okay, I'm going to start taking one day out of the week extra. So it started being Tuesdays. Mm-hmm. So I was there on Monday, and then I was there Wednesdays through Saturday. Then probably 2 years ago, I started weaning away a little bit more, where I wasn't there on Mondays and Tuesdays. And of course, you know, as my own brand has grown with my blog and my writing and my presenting, like, you know, I've been able to branch out and go around the country and to other places around the world and present. And, you know, I do enjoy writing, of course. So having the opportunity to write for all. So basically my Mondays and Tuesdays were spent writing articles, writing programs, hitting deadlines and stuff like that. So it's not like when I wasn't at the facility, I was like just, you know, sitting at home, petting my cat and, you know, watching movies, mm-hmm. which, you know, sometimes that happened. But I was doing work. But then again, as I've grown, I was like, oh, you know what? Maybe I can wean away a little bit more. And, you know, it just came down to it's just a natural progression. It was just time to move on. It was definitely a very hard choice to make because, again, you know, it's been 8 years of my life and 8 years of my professional life, you know, building something from nothing to what it is now. And I think you can relate to this too. Like, you know, there's a lot of value in being around other smart coaches. Absolutely. on a daily basis. So, as much as I miss being around the clients and the athletes and, you know, the environment there, I think what I miss most is being around the other coaches on a day-to-day basis. Mm-hmm. You know, and I'm hoping that, I won't lose any sharpness as a coach. You know, so basically what I'm doing now for those who are still listening is I'm subleasing space and time at a small studio here in Boston. It's an already existing studio. This woman owns it. It's called Run Strong Studio and it's in Brookline. And, she was kind enough to meet with me and say, hey, if you're interested, like you can, I'm just going to charge you by the hour. You can rent time. You can bring in equipment. And she literally let me vomit all over the place as far as bringing in equipment.
Well, I was going to say, you posted a little bit about this, but how much equipment did you buy? Like what was, let's take even a step back. I mean, you got that space, you have the ability to do whatever you want with it. Like at the top of your mind, what was the equipment that you're like, okay, we're going to need this, this, and this? Because, you know, there are people out there that are going to be looking to build their own studios or facilities. And, you know, what do you recommend as like the go-to equipment?
Very good question. So I walked in a pretty good situation in that this was an already existing studio. Mm-hmm. And what's nice is that there's very little, by me subleasing, there's very little risk on my end as far as overhead. So I don't have to worry about hitting, you know, a $5,000 a month rent. Mm-hmm. I don't have to worry about the electricity bill. I don't have to worry about any of that. So, you know, and she already had a fair amount of equipment in there. Nothing that was like super duper strength related because she deals with a lot of rehab and dealing with a lot of runners. So she had like a treadmill and an elliptical and some dumbbells and kettlebells and stuff like that. So as a strength coach, you know, I think the number one thing on the list is, okay, I need a power rack. So that's going to be objective number one, was to, find a durable power rack that I could use that could just get beaten to crap and just have multiple people using it and won't have any issues with it. So I got a rack from Rogue Fitness. Mm-hmm. And they were fantastic. And then I've kept it pretty minimal because, again, I am still kind of starting out and kind of feeling my way around as far as like, okay, how many clients do I need? How many clients do I actually want? And what my schedule is going to be for the week. So what I end up getting, a power rack. I went around and I bought a bunch of plates. So I, you know, Boston University, I'm really good friends with people at the Boston University Strength and Conditioning, and they have a bunch of weights in the back that they were just sitting there. So they were kind enough to sell me some of their plates. Mm-hmm. Sick plates too, like bumper plates that say Boston on it. They're pretty sick.
Nice.
And then I found this guy on Craigslist who in Peabody, you know, he just basically resells a bunch of equipment. And, you know, Lisa and I drove to his house on a Sunday afternoon, and he has like plates and barbells and all this refurbished equipment. It was amazing. He was like this big meathead guy that works for the tea. It was amazing. So I bought some plates from him, and, you know, I was able to scrounge some Texas power bars from another gym that was a little bit further out. I bought a trap bar. I bought power blocks just from a I think power blocks are perfect, especially for people who have limited space.
Absolutely.
And they need dumbbells. So I have dumbbells from 5 to 90 pounds that take up like very, very, very minimal space. Mm-hmm. So and then I have stuff in my apartment that I brought over, like a bunch of kettlebells and valve slides and bands and stuff like that. So you know, for the most part, I have what I need. My game plan is to do semi-private training, so where I'm training groups of like 2, maybe 3 people at a time, depending on how quickly I fill up the schedule. But everyone's doing a one-on-one assessment. Everyone's getting their program written for them, that they do, whether they're coaching with me or what they do outside. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so far so good. It's been about 2 weeks, and I think I have 8 people that are training with me already, which has been good. So, and it's just, you know, it's 1.5 miles from my apartment. So there's, I'm not going to lie and say I don't miss the commute. It was a 45-minute commute for me. Yeah. to and from the facility every day. So, you know, it was sad to leave. Like it sucked. Very, very nerve wracking. Cause you feel like, I feel like a lot of my entity and identity is through Cressy Sports Performance. Mm-hmm. But then I go back, I'm like, listen, like I've spent 8 years as well building my own brand. Mm-hmm. That has gotten a good reputation for the most part. Like I don't feel like I have a bad reputation as like being somebody who's confrontational and, you know, likes to spark up a lot of debate. I just like to relay good information out there, and people like what I have to say and what I do and the content I put out, and that's parlayed very well to this. Like I've had a lot of people reach out expressing interest to start training with me in Boston. So that's pretty much the condensed version of everything that's happened in my life for the past, you know, 5 weeks.
Well, you know, let's go back over a couple of those things that stood out to me. And I mean, first off, you're really smart about this stuff, because like you said, this wasn't like a quick decision that you made.
No,
you thought about it over a year plus, and you know, you tested kind of the waters. Like you slowly started stepping away from stuff at CSB and cutting down the days and continuing to work on other stuff, where I think some people they'll have that job that they have at a gym, and they'll just be like, yeah, this isn't what I want, and they quit without a backup plan
about it. Yeah.
Or what's next. Like they just think, all right, well, it will work out. And you're really, really, really smart about that.
Yeah. Thank you.
This is stuff that as fitness professionals out there, we're not always the most business savvy. Or even future thinking, because literally a lot of us are thinking, all right, do I have enough clients to hit what I need to hit this week to get that bonus or to do whatever, and not always thinking about what's down the road. That's something I've been trying to be a lot better at, is just being a little bit more, you know, future thinking, always being on the short term. Also keep in mind, if you do open your own facility, it's always great if you like go to perform better and you have them design your place, it's going to be awesome, but it's also not going to be the cheapest way to do it.
No.
If you don't have a ton of money saved up, like things like Craigslist is a great outlet, because people mm-hmm. are always trying to get rid of stuff, always. So that's a great, great thing to do. But like I said, if you have the money, God, Perform Better does such a great job with that stuff.
They do a good job.
Wow.
But yeah, I was able to just kind of, and that's the route I took, was I hit up Craigslist. You know, I bought 2 relatively unused Texas power bars for $425 both.
Yeah.
You know, you buy those brand new and you're paying that per bar.
Right.
So, you know, and yeah, do all my plates match? No. I mean, like I said, my BU strength and conditioning bumper plates are all multicolored, mm-hmm. you know, then I bought like iron plates that they don't match. And I mean, I got a lot of them that do match, but I mean, it's not a beauty contest as far as like what I'm trying to do at this studio. So, I remember like Pete and Eric and myself, Pete in particular gets a lot of consultations with people wanting to open up facilities, and the umbrella message that we always tell people is start small. Like this studio space I'm working out of right now is 800 square feet. Mm-hmm. It's not big at all. And like I said, and I'll admit this, like I walked into a pretty good situation. Like it's literally a mile and a half from my apartment. I have very little, risk involved as far as like, I'm not like, it's not my studio. It's called Run Strong Studio. You know, I'm obviously helping with like building the name and whatnot. And I have no idea how long I'm going to stay there. Like I might outgrow the space in a couple months. I might stay there, just kind of keep it just, you know, I'll coach 15, 20 hours a week and that's all I need. That's all I want. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen, but, it's very tiny. But it's clean. It's well, I mean, there's carpet, there's matting down, there's a power rack, there's plates. I mean, I'm going to be able to get after it and do what I need to do. As far as the clientele I'm getting there. So, you know, I was very fortunate. Not everyone is going to walk into that type of situation. You know, but certainly if they aren't, the message to take home is to start small mm-hmm. and build from there.
Yeah. And avoid falling in love with like, oh man, like I really want to be able to run like 40 yard sprints and stuff like that.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I don't have the luxury of doing that now, but it is at what is going to be nice is, I mean, once the weather's still pretty good here in Boston. I have plenty of sidewalk and a side street that has a slight incline, so I can have people run outside. Mm-hmm. I can have stuff outside.
Yeah. Don't think like, oh, well, I need to have 4,000 square feet I have to run 40. It's like, you don't have to.
And another thing to consider too, and not to blow sunshine up my own butt is, again, I've spent 8 years plus, I mean, more than that, but I mean, I've been in this industry for 13, but 8 years with.
Yeah. You're like, what are you, 53?
Yeah, yeah, there'll be birthdays at the end of this month. I've built my brand with my writing and my presenting and my coaching for 8 years, and when I wrote that blog post saying, you know, hey everyone, I'm leaving Cressy Sports Performance, and I wrote that reflecting piece. That day, I had 10 people email me. It was like, oh, you're in Boston now? Like, where are you going to be? I'm interested. Like, let me know when you're going to be up and ready to go. Mm-hmm. You know, not a lot of people are going to have that luxury. And that's where I think, like, a lot of people get these grandiose ideas where it's like, hey, I'm going to open up this 4,000 square foot facility. I'm going to get the best equipment. And people are just – I'm going to turn the lights on and people are just going to show up. That didn't happen for us when we opened up Cressy Sports Performance. When, you know, Eric did have a name back then. I had a kind of a sort of name. It's not like we just turned on the lights and people showed up. We had to work our ass off as far as like generating clients. But two, like, you know, forwarding to now and myself and opening and doing my own thing. I've had that initial push of like people interested, but now I'm at a point where I do kind of have to figure out a little bit, okay, what do I need to do as far as like generating more leads and how can I get the name out a little bit more? Because there's plenty of people in Boston and Brooklyn. I have no idea who the heck Tony Gentilcore is, nor should they. You know, but having my website and my social media presence definitely helps. I'm going to use that to my advantage. But again, I've been able to build that over the course of 8 years. You know, and there are a lot of people listening and who are now and coming in the industry that just think they're just going to show up and open up these accounts and people are just going to show up to their facility. And unfortunately, that's not necessarily the case. So, you know, that's another message to take home too, is like, yeah, you gotta put in the work. I think I've said this on the show before is, I encourage most incoming trainers to work at a commercial gym out of the gate.
Absolutely.
I think that you have to do that. You should do that for a year, 2, 3 years. I did it for 5. I worked in the commercial gym setting for the first 5 years of my career. Mm-hmm. And you know, I mean, and I think Dean Somerset wrote an excellent blog post on his website not too long ago on the advantages of working in a commercial gym setting. Because again, you don't have overhead, you don't have to pay rent. Like, yeah, do you take a little bit of a hit as far as the hourly wage? Yes. But the facility isn't pocketing all that money. I think Boyle talked about this too. Like, you know, you hear a lot of personal trainers that gripe about, oh, you know, my client's paying $100 or $120 for this session. I'm only taking in 30 of it. That means the gym is pocketing the rest of that money. No, they're paying the rent, they're paying the equipment, they're paying their health insurance, they're paying their liability insurance,
custodial staff,
all that. Stuff. So no, they're not pocketing the rest of that money.
it's the issue of being short-sighted as a young True. Person in this industry, and it happens to the best of us. You just got to continue to make sure that you are, you know, learning from this stuff and you understand how this business works, because at some point, and this is one of the things I wanted to bring up with you, it's like, yeah, 8 years is a super long time to do anything. And you're going to grow out of anywhere. Like even at Boyle's, like we have, I probably talked about this a couple times on the show, but I think our gym is like a graduate program for coaches and trainers. Mm-hmm. It's not a place where people stay there for like me, Kevin Carr, and like Brendan Rarick, like we are the outliers that have stayed there for 6+ years. Marco Sanchez, like, you know, most people, and even Marco left for a little bit. Most people use that as a stepping stone as their graduate program to learn more, get a good reference. And then we've had people go, like the training room in Boston has a bunch of people that interned and worked at our gym. It's a great way to look at it and not think, I kind of lost my train of thought there for a second, but with all this stuff, it's really good to have that reference to see where other people are coming from and to know, you know, what that next step is going to be, because you're going to get tired of whatever you're doing unless you either change it up or go do your own thing for a little bit. You have to do
it. Yeah, I mean, you know, I could probably call myself an outlier too, in the sense that being one of the co-founders of a facility and being one of the figureheads kind of, you know, made me had that loyalty factor was a little bit higher, mm-hmm. As far as like wanting to stay there.
Sure.
And, you know, I mentioned earlier, like a lot of the value of staying at Cressy was because of the coaching and being around the clients and the athletes. And, you know, and to me, like this industry isn't about like, I don't think a lot of people who are coaches and trainers enter this industry under the illusion that they're going to be making a ton of money.
Right.
I mean, there are definitely ways of doing that as far as if you dip your toes into like, you know, fitness products and stuff like that and affiliate stuff and whatnot, you can definitely, there are ways to augment your income. Which is a whole nother conversation, and I think is an important conversation because this day and age, it is very important to consider that. But, you know, I think, you know, me being there, one of the co-founders and one of the figureheads kept me there for a reason. Like, you know, this stuff never even entered my mind as far as like stepping away till literally maybe a year or two ago, where I just kind of contemplated it, you know, especially when my wife and I started kind of discussing like, okay, where do we see ourselves in 3 years, 5 years? You know, do we want to rent or do we want to rent or do we want to own in Boston? Like, what about family? And, you know, what do we want to do? Mm-hmm. So at the end of the day, the you know, when I sat down with Pete and Eric and we had a grown up conversation about, okay, what do I want to do? We all came to the same conclusion that, hey man, it's been a great ride. You know, we were kind of expecting this to happen sooner or later. We wish you well. You know, you're our boy and, you know, go do your thing. You know, I'm not like erased from the history of Cressy Sports Performance. I'm still,
you haven't been Hulk Hogan.
No. I'm still a co-founder. Yeah, exactly. I've not been erased from the history of an institution. You know, I'm still a co-founder. I still plan on heading out there to get a lift from time to time or hitting up an in-service or, you know, attending one of their seminars. I wouldn't be surprised if I'm invited back to speak at the seminar. You know, but I'm excited. Like, you know, it's been, you know, the past 3 weeks, I mean, certainly there's been a lot of motoring around as far as organizing and, you know, getting equipment and figuring out systems and payments and scheduling and stuff like that. But thankfully, I have a pretty good network in my back pocket of people who are gym owners and who have done this, and that people have been more than helpful of pointing me in the direction of the stuff I need to look into. And because I mean, I'm not a business person. Like I don't consider myself like savvy business person, certainly, or a marketer. But I think certainly to a degree I am, especially with social media and building that brand. But you know, as far as like numbers and stuff like that, like I'm not Pete Dupuy, as far as like being like a good businessman in that regard, or Eric. But you know, I would like to think that a lot of their sage advice and wisdom has rubbed off on me in the course of 8 years. And, you know, I'm not looking to like make this a 40, 50, 60 a week thing. Like I don't want to coach that much. Like I still want to coach. Like I still like, it's very important for me, especially if I'm still going to continue writing and presenting and, hey, here's how you train people. I still need to be training people.
I almost hate this term, but you've done it. You've been in the trenches.
Yes.
You know, you've been in the trenches and you've done the, you know, 40, 50 hours a week of coaching. You've trained hundreds, thousands of people. And at some point, you know, you have to kind of look at what makes the most sense for the way that you want to live your life. And you have to be happy with what you're doing. And God, if anyone gave you crap about coaching 20 hours a week, like I coach 6 hours a week now.
Yeah.
I'm okay. I can still coach.
Yeah. And you know, it kind of goes, what else enters this equation too, is something I read that Tony Bonvecchio wrote the other day, where people always talk about you gotta work smarter, not harder. And he's like, that is a moot point if you're not working hard in the first place.
Yeah.
And I've worked hard. Like I've put in the hours. I've put in 13 years as a total, 8 years at Cressy Sports Performance. You know, I've helped build a brand. I know how to coach a squat and a deadlift.
Right.
So I don't need to do it 40 hours a week. But I still want to do it because I enjoy doing it. And doing this is going to allow me to monetize my time better. Gives me more autonomy. It's less travel to back and forth. So hopefully it's going to work out in the end.
Yeah, and it's a shame if anyone out there, there's always going to be the people on the internet who get mad at people who make money a different way than they do.
Yeah.
Because they're like, I'm at the gym 40, 50 hours a week and this person's making, you know, more than me. Yeah, well, they figured out a way to make money.
Sorry about it.
Yeah, and if you're one of those people that are making more money, damn, don't feel bad about it, because you figured out a way to, you know, monetize your time better.
Yeah.
And that's a, you know, really a testament to, and one piece of advice that I can give to people is going off of what you're saying, Tony, of kind of slowly stepping away, trying some different things and not just like cutting off the umbilical cord. I don't know if that's a good analogy for it, but to spend a couple hours a week learning how to do something else and something that will help benefit your career. For me, it was learning how to edit video well and, you know, doing stuff on the computer, making websites and all that. And that has been a huge benefit. And it's why like a majority of my career right now is in continuing education. It's in creating content and also trying to get all that content into a easy to digest form for other people, whether it be Mike Boyle stuff or stuff on the FitCast. Like that has been my strength, and that's why I've utilized it. I'm not like, oh man, I should make sure, even though I'm going to make less money doing it, coach more during the week. No, I coach because I like coaching.
Yep.
I have no reason to be coaching right now financially, because like at Boyle's, like we get an hourly rate for it. It's less than personal training, but I'd rather spend that time coaching and not doing personal training just because I enjoy it. And obviously it's a vital component of when I do continuing education stuff, like certifications, just making sure that I am keeping those skills nice and sharp and, being sure that I'm able to do everything that I need to do and continue to learn from seeing tons of people that walk through our gym and just how crazy everyone ends up moving once you start having them try to do a single legged deadlift or something.
Yeah. And, you know, and I still plan on hitting up, you know, seminars and workshops from other people. Like I'm going to a Dan John workshop that's going to be at Ramphone's place.
And, oh, nice.
Brendan. Yeah, yeah. I'm going to that. You know, like I hit up an in-service here down the street at Body Skates where Artemis Scantilides and Eric Gahn were doing an in-service for the staff down there. They basically let me wedding crash their in-service. I just showed up. It's like, hey, what's up? So, you know, yeah, and I definitely want to stay sharp with keeping my coaching skills on point. But I'm not going to lie and say that I don't enjoy like when I get off this podcast, like I'm going to write my blog post, you know, I'm going to chill out for the, I might, you know, I'll go down to BU and get my lift in, you know, and I have a few clients tonight at 5 and 6. So,
And yeah, it's like, for like what you're saying right there is it's finding what is going to make you happy in the career that you're doing. Because for me, I love doing a bunch of different stuff. If I had like six, and that's what I did when I started at Boston Sports Club, like I had 6 personal training sessions back to back, like every day. Uh-huh. And I hated it because I think the semi-private, you know, working with multiple people or the small group training or just in groups of athletes, like that's much more, you know, appealing to me because I get to do a lot of different stuff. Like if you're just kind of like standing there waiting for someone to complete a set and then you're thinking, oh man, what can I talk to them about in between, you know, their rest periods? So we're not just standing there in silence. And like you were just saying, like I'm doing a podcast right now. I answered a bunch of emails before. I'm about to edit a bunch of video. I'm working on a manual. I'm then going to be putting together our program schedule for the first half of 2016. I got 2 conference calls. I'm going to lift. Then I'm going to go into MBSC. I'm going to coach my group. And then I'm going to come back home. I'm probably going to answer more emails. Then I'm going to do some writing. And then I'm going to read before going to bed. And like that variety is what is appealing to me. I can't do the same thing all day. Like if I was at a computer all day, I'd want to kill myself. If I was coaching 8 hours straight, I'd be dead tired and I would be bummed out. Like this allows me to have just so much variety in my day, but still it's all in the world of, you know, fitness. So it's all about finding what is going to be what's going to make you want to get up in the morning, Tony.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, like if I could find a way to watch 4 movies a day and review them and get paid for it, I just want to be like a jacked movie critic.
But you can do that maybe like once every 2 days and write something about it. And that's blog content for you too.
Yeah.
Because people know that they're going to go to your site for that too.
Yeah. I mean, I've been very fortunate to have a very good following with my blog and my writing and, But again, just to reiterate the message that you and I are trying to send is that it takes a long time to build that.
Yeah.
You know, I get emails all the time from people like, how do I become a better writer? How do I get more exposure? And da-da-da. Mm-hmm. I was like, you got to write for free. You got to write a lot. And, you know, you got to be patient. Honestly, there is no secret formula for success in this industry. You got to put in your time. You got to put in your dues. You know, and then you and I remember when, you know, I first moved to Boston and started doing the FitCast with you for the first time back in 2006?
Yeah.
2007. Like we were both relatively new in this industry. Like
I was 19.
Yeah. And now look at you. I mean, that's over the course of coming up on a decade.
Right.
You know, it didn't happen overnight.
And this is just from my interactions with other people and like people think like it's just magically happened or it was like the right place at the right time. No, it's because this is 362 episodes. It's like only in the last year have I been able to, you know, get real support from the audience with the Patreon stuff to help
augment and pay for it.
Yeah.
Little do people know, like it costs me roughly $500 a month just to maintain my website.
Right.
So, and then I get flack by some people who say, oh, affiliate income, you're just doing it to make the money, you know, but first of all, look at the people I'm pointing you towards, Jen Sinclair, David Delanave, you know, John Romanello, Eric Cressy, Brett Contreras, like Lee Taft, like, oh, I'm such an asshole. I'm pointing you in the people of like these really good coaches and the information they're sending out. Like, yes, do I make affiliate income off it? Yes. I use their content, but I also use it to help, you know, augment all this free content I give you on a daily basis. So, you know, it doesn't boggle my mind what people complain about. But I know that those are the outliers and they're very few and far between. And most people are very kind and nice and say nice things. But it does get frustrating at times.
Well, yeah, sure. And I mean, we won't bore people with that stuff. I mean, that's something we've hit on the past. But I think maybe we should talk about this has been good conversation for me, but we'll mix it up a little bit and talk about some other stuff that you have going on. And of course, I wanted to hit a little bit on the semi-private model. So you talked a little bit about, you know, designing everyone's program for themselves. What is that intake process like for you? Are you going through like any goal assessment stuff with them?
Yeah. So I'll sit down with the client and I do the normal intake. So, you know, I have them fill out the questionnaire and the health history and stuff like that. And I'm digging, I'm peeling back the onion. I'm discussing, okay, what is your training consistency of now? What was it in the past? Have you been consistent with it? What are the injuries I need to be aware of? Like, of course, I'll look through their health history, as I dig a little bit further, I'm always reminded of an injury that they forgot about. Mm-hmm. I think you're very familiar with that as well.
I had a knee thing.
Yeah. I had open heart surgery. Like, oh, what? Like, you know, it's amazing what some people forget.
Oh, I didn't know I needed to mention that.
Yeah, exactly.
Tore my ACL last month.
Oh, yeah, I need to know that.
Yeah.
So I'm sitting down and I'm discussing their goals. Like, I've had several people who knew who I was beforehand, but I've had some referrals of people who have no idea who I am. So, you know, and I think they kind of appreciate as far as how thorough I am, because I think they've had instances with past trainers where it's like, okay, let's go do the equipment. Mm-hmm. And there's no sitting down of like talking about anything. I like training women, and when the women, like, I'll get it all the time, like, oh, you know, squatting, deadlifting, I don't want to get big and bulky. You know, past Tony would have been like, oh, well, that's impossible. Your T levels aren't that high and blah, 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 blah. Now it's more along the lines of like trying to figure out why that's their train of thought. Mm-hmm. So instead of me being
Lou's newest book, Lou and Alan Cosgrove Strong, yeah. they hit on that, like hit a home run with that.
Yep. They sent me a copy of that just the other day. And I haven't had a chance to read it yet, but I'm interviewing them. I'm figuring out, okay, where's their mind at with this? Like, why? Mm-hmm. You know, did you have an experience in the past of squats hurting or making you big and bulky, or, you know, how were you taught them? Or, you know, I'm just trying to peel back the onion. But then a lot of my intake process too is just doing a thorough assessment, you know, so it's kind of like a bastardized, you know, hybrid of like FMS, PRI, you know, a lot of stuff we do up at Cressy Sports Performance. You know, looking at shoulder flexion and total range of motion and hip internal external range of motion and overhead squat. You know, I'm just trying to see their movement quality, witness it, seeing what their default patterns are. You know, and then I write the program based off that and what the goals are and what the frequency is. And, you know, that's more or less what it is as far as like the initial assessment. It's me asking questions for an hour, you know, trying to make it about them, not about me proving how smart I am. I'm just asking questions and letting them do most of the talking. And just seeing how they move, and not saying, and I'm not trying to look for dysfunction. Oh, you got a little knee valgus there. Or I'm not trying to be that nitpicky. I might make a note of it, but it's not like I'm going to point out every little thing they're doing wrong. Mm-hmm. And, you know, yeah, then I write the program. Everyone's going to get their own program. They train with me once a week, twice a week, whatever. And they might have certain days of the week where they're at their regular gym. The programming will reflect that as well. And then, the goal is to, you know, I'm going to book sessions where, I'll have somebody show up at the top of the hour. And then as I get more clients, I'll have a client show up at the bottom of the hour. So the way I envision it is as someone gets through the meat and potatoes of their workout and start kind of dwindling down a little bit, I'll have someone else show up, you know, it'll just be like so I'll never really have more than two, maybe occasionally three people in there at a time. And that's the semi-private format. And to me, there's a lot of advantages to it because, number one, it's more affordable for them. So they're not paying a one-on-one rate. They're paying a semi-private rate. Right. So it's more affordable for most people that way. Number two, they're still getting a ton of coaching. Like I can handle, like I'm used to being around 20, 30, you know, 35, 40 athletes at a time. I can handle two or three people at a time and they can get a ton of coaching. So they're still going to get a ton of one-on-one time and a lot of coaching. And two and three, there's a camaraderie and a sense of community. And I think people kind of feed off each other's energy. They look at the exercises someone else is doing and, oh, I want to be able to do that. And they get a little bit of competition going, and which I don't think is a bad thing. So, mm-hmm. To me, like I really like the semi-private format. I think it keeps me fresher as a coach. Cause I like having different personalities in there and like coach and like not just standing there with one person for one straight hour. Mm-hmm. You and I both know we've had clients in the past where it's like the worst hour of your life. Yeah. And that's few and far between, but it does get old. Like, so I like having, you know, two people in, three people in at a time, and just kind of, it makes it go by so much faster.
And it's a better environment. You can be the most like upbeat, like, you know, super positive coach, like trying to get the most out of, your one-on-one session. But if you have that semi-private model or that, you know, that small group training model, there's also, it's just human to have that competition between everyone and mm-hmm. to have that extra accountability and be like, oh man, like if you and I were in a group and we were getting coached by someone, oh man, Tony just did the 85s. I'm only on the 75s. I got to see if I can at least get the 80 today. I got to catch mm-hmm. up to Tony. Like he's leaving me in the dust. So it's just that extra level of competition, which makes that model. That's why that model makes so much sense to me, but, not saying.
And you and I have a lot of experience with it. When both facilities that we work out of do semi-private.
Yeah. And we still do, I would say like for us, I think like 30% of the revenue at MBSC is still one-on-one personal training because mm-hmm. we're in an area where people are like, no, I have the money. I want my own hour.
And, okay. And if you want to pay that. It.
Right. If you're willing to pay it, then we got it for you too.
Yeah. I mean, all my assessments are one-on-one. Mm-hmm. And so that is a one-on-one rate. But then after that, it's semi-private. And I think people appreciate that where they're like, oh, yeah, they can see. Like my prices are pretty comparable to what they would pay a BSC trainer or Equinox trainer for one-on-one time. Mm-hmm. But I'm writing them their individual programs. And most people don't get that in a commercial gym. Like they don't get a program written for them.
Exactly.
So I hand them a printed out program. Here's what you're doing.
And that's a huge mistake if people are still doing that, because that was one of the best selling points. And it's why I was far and away the busiest trainer at my Boston Sports Club, because everyone knew that they were going to get a personalized program that I would literally give to them. And sometimes people would train with me 2 days a week and then one day a week on their own, but they had the program and were using exercises that we already went over. So I could trust them to do that stuff. Or that third day that they were doing on their own was like very simplified. Like it was much easier, like split squats, push-ups, like a TRX row, something that's a little bit harder to mess up and doesn't need as much coaching. But that's a great tip. If you're not doing that as like a selling point, because that's sales. Like you need to be able to fill out that schedule.
I get that in the commercials and setting like that, that's can be a little bit harder because you never know. People are pretty spontaneous and sporadic with their training. So you're never guaranteed that someone is going to be with you for 3 months or 4 months or they might be good 1 week. Oh, but then they travel for 2 weeks you got to use it as like a case by case scenario. But I think if you're a trainer in a commercial gym setting and you're a number to most people, like you're in a facility that has 5 trainers, 10 trainers. I worked at a facility that had 70 mm-hmm. trainers. If you're looking to separate yourself from the masses, and you want to give yourself some added perceived value as far as like what people are paying for your service, writing them a program is going to give you a big thumbs up in most people's eyes. Like, cause most people's experiences with past trainers is, oh, what do you want to do today? I used to hear that all the time from trainers at the old gym I used to work at, where the client would walk up to the trainer in the community area and the trainer would be like, oh, so what do you want to do today? Mm-hmm. And in my head, I'm like, dude, that's what they're paying you for. Like, you should know what they're going to be doing. You shouldn't ask them what they're going to be doing. You know, so I think if you're a personal trainer in a commercial gym setting, you want to give some added perceived value for your service, and you need to be writing programs. You know, yeah. It's a little bit more time, but no, if it's a matter of, you know, people re-upping each month, then it's time well spent.
Well, I think with a lot of the coaches out there and trainers, you're going to have a template that you're going to be going off of. So writing programs should not take you hours. Like, you should be able to write a 3-day a week, 4-week program in, you know, maybe 20 minutes, 25 minutes.
Maybe. I very rarely write a program from a blank slate. Like, I always have somebody in the past that's been similar goals, similar body type, similar injury history.
Exactly.
Where I can go to that program and
that's
maybe
working smart
exercise. And like, sometimes it takes 10 minutes. Like, I mean, it's not that time. I mean, you don't need to be writing from a blank slate. You're not going to like strength coach or personal trainer or purgatory because you don't write a new program from a blank slate every time.
Yeah,
like, you're
it's not a snowflake.
No,
you know, it doesn't have, they don't all have to be completely different. And especially for those beginners, like when I got a new client, they were pretty much all doing the same program. This is back in 2008. You know, they're all more or less doing the same program, you know, plus or minus something that had to do with an injury history or movement.
Yeah, but they're being coached, and that's your value as well. Like, you're a good coach, and how you coach this stuff is going to be different than how Joe Schmo trainer coaches it, who doesn't know how to, they just have people do leg presses and not squats because they don't know how to coach a squat. You know, not that there's anything against leg presses, but I'm just trying to make a point. Like, you know, yeah, like there's a lot of programs that are the same and a lot of people doing the same programs, but they're being coached well. I'm trying to make my clients not have to use me. Mm-hmm. Like, I want them to not use not that I don't want them to use my services, but I want them to get to the point where they don't need me to show them how to do it. I want to be able to hand them a program and they just be like, okay, cool, I got it. And then they start their training session and I'm just kind of like keeping my eye on them. You know what I mean? So I want them to be autonomous. And those are the clients that are going to be referred. I refer people all the time to other coaches, other massage therapists. Like, you know, I mean, a good match for you. For you want to be a competitive bodybuilder, like, I'm not really a bodybuilder, go to this guy instead. Like, I think people will appreciate that you have their best interests in mind, and then they're more likely to refer people to you or just buy sessions with you down the road. You know, so there's a lot of ways that people can improve their value just by giving a little bit, just, you know, a little bit more effort as far as like writing programs and actually coaching people. Goes a long way.
Oh man, we're out of time.
that was a lot to cover.
Yeah. And like, we didn't even get to the questions people submitted, but the, Tony will be back on, I'm sure, down the road. And
I can come on more often.
Yeah. And I get to get down to, check out the space, at least maybe get in the lift with you or something.
I'm down for that.
All right. Well, for everyone else out there, of course, you got TonyGentleCore.com, but do you have anything coming up? I know you're doing some traveling for the fall for seminars.
A lot of traveling with Dean Somerset. We'll be in LA in a couple of weeks, but 2016 is going to be pretty cool. Like, that schedule is filling up pretty quickly as far as like speaking engagements. My wife is actually teaming up with Artemis and doing a workshop next weekend at Artemis's place. I am not afraid to lift. So nice. I would encourage any women listening to keep your eyes peeled for that, because I believe her and Artemis are going to be expanding that and possibly doing more stuff together next year and know that same workshop. But my wife is a psychologist, so she's adding a lot more of the mindset and like psychological components of training, which is huge. So if you're a trainer and coach, I mean, that's half the battle for a lot of clients that you work with, is trying to get inside their head a little bit and trying to improve their thought processes and stuff like that. So definitely keep an eye out for that as well. And then, you know, I might be doing some, you know, more writing, maybe doing a fitness product myself next year. So we'll see what happens.
Anything is possible.
Yeah, absolutely. 2016 is going to be pretty cool. I'm excited.
it should be a great year. And not only that, I'm going to be turning 30 in 2016.
Well, so we definitely have to have a party for that.
Oh man, I don't know. Maybe I'll. I think I might just go see if Vin Diesel's free for the weekend.
Yeah,
and we can just chat and go get a drink or something. But that is going to do it for this episode. As always, if you are a Patreon supporter, keep listening after the music because you're going to get that agenda free segment for about 20, 25 minutes. And for everyone else out there, I mentioned it before, but if you feel like this show is worth supporting and you enjoy the content that is being produced, it means a lot if you help me keep this show free and ad-free as it has been by going to patreon.com/theFitCast. And literally for $1 per episode, you get access to that extra content and you help me continue to make sure I can continue to make these shows and have great people on like Tony and like I had Brian Patrick Murphy on last time. And of course,
oh, but that was a hoot. That guy is the most extroverted person I've ever met in my life. He's amazing.
Yeah. He's pretty good. and there, you know, there's always going to be great guests coming down the road as well. So the people that are on Patreon and you're helping me make that possible, thank you so much for doing all of that. And the show is on iTunes. If you would like to, you can go on there and subscribe to the show through iTunes. Please submit a review if you enjoy the show. I really appreciate that too. And of course, the fitcast.com, at fitcast on Twitter. I'm at Kevin Larrabee. I believe Tony is at TonyGentleCore1 on Twitter. And that is going to do it. We will see you next time, unless you're going to stick around for the agenda-free segment with Tony. Tony, thank you for coming back on the show.
I appreciate it, Kevin. We'll talk soon.
Absolutely.